All right, welcome back. We're joined on the hotline by our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement, as the Pirates wrap up a series tonight in St. Louis where they are now drawing tumbleweeds for games. Joe Buck tweeted out a picture last night of the crowd right before first pitch, and it looked like there was about 10,000 people there, which is a far cry from...
Tony, I'm told they're the best fans in baseball. How would that be possible?
Yeah, it was the lowest attendance number in the history of that stadium last night between the Pirates and Cardinals. Matt Clement with us. Matt, you pitched against St. Louis a ton with the Cubs when you were in the NL Central. Your thoughts on that quickly, that now St. Louis has abandoned its baseball team?
Well, that made me stop for a second, because I would have never dreamed that would happen. Obviously, it could have turned into half as many or whatever the case may be, but like 10,000 people, that's crazy. And obviously, the Pirates aren't a team that's going to draw the fan base to come to watch like this player or that in that situation. But at the same time, unless it's like schemes pitching, mm-hmm. but. Like that amazes me. St. Louis they are claimed to be the best fans in baseball, and I never went to that place where it wasn't full house, especially when I was with the Cubs. It was crazy.
Where did they rank among the most infuriating teams to pitch against? Because they do annoy the heck out of me when they're good with their approach, and the fact that some random guy who comes up from Memphis 2 days prior ends up hitting like 3 home runs in a game.
Yeah, they were infuriating. It was a big rival. And for me, I was against La Russa, who can be infuriating. Like, he's infuriating. But much respect to him, like, of what he's done and everything else. And that's actually why, when I was trying to make a comeback, I went to him, because I was the kind of guy that I felt like coming off the injury that comes and wins a Cy Young or something crazy. Like, that's why they're infuriating to you, like what you're saying about somebody out of the blue comes and end of his career, he's done. Now all of a sudden, he's winning 15 or 20 games. And very infuriating, but very, very respectful at the same time.
Yeah, you're obviously talking about guys like Chris Carpenter and Matt Morris, who had a penchant to do stuff like that with the Cardinals, Matt, during your heyday. Andrew Heaney, let's get into this for a second, because you've got an interesting perspective as a former pitcher. He had a bonus. If he pitched 120 innings, the Pirates are going to give him an extra $50,000. He gets to that threshold Monday night. He gives up 5 runs in the process. He gets DFA'd the next day. Now, there were other future innings bonuses that were attainable if they kept him on the team. He could have made another $50,000 if he just pitched out of the bullpen over the next month of the season. This was a huge hot topic last year when the Pirates got rid of Rowdy Tellez a few at-bats away from a couple $100,000 bonus. Take me through the mind of a big leaguer in these situations, and is it really a situation, too, Matt, where when a team doesn't give a guy a bonus, players around the league take notice of that?
You know, I think the big picture here, let's start with the big picture. He's pitched poorly enough over the last month, but if you look at his numbers, there were some good starts mixed in there before they took him out and put him in the bullpen. You know, he did what a fifth starter does, basically, and probably was going through his roughest stretch. So the DFA in general, if we're looking at the big picture, is understandable where the Pirates are at this point in the season. But, you know, they take a veteran guy who's eaten innings for you, and, you know, he has an MLB right now, a 5 ERA as your fifth starter grinding away on a bad team is not a terrible situation. And you take him and put him in the bullpen. And like, to me, this story is not about last night. You know, he's at one inning away, I think on August 11th, maybe he was one inning away from the bonus on August 11th. Mm-hmm. And that's when they put him in the bullpen.
Yep.
And you know, he didn't do well when they brought him in those couple times, the one time in between or whatever it was. So I don't know. It to me, you know, because of the Tellez situation, it makes you stop for a second and look at it, right? And secondly, it almost feels like they said last night, okay, some of the criticism will go away if we do it like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're giving him $50,000, but I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of, he had something at 125 innings, I think, and I think he had another one at 130.
He had one at 130 that would have paid him an extra $100,000.
And I think a 140 that actually was out there too.
Yep, that's right.
Which the 140 probably, you know, you could make that not work, especially when they have 6 starters that are throwing pretty well right now and everything else, that situation. But, like, to me, yes, if I'm a veteran guy, you know, now you have a little bit of a history of it. I got a peek at it. Now, is it somebody that's a last guy you're signing before camp that's going to affect? Probably not, but maybe that guy that's in the that range, a little bit better play, you know, a little bit better player in that range you're trying to get to, like, solidify your team. I think as a former player, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine, and I'm like, I'm looking at this from a – he kept saying, yeah, but he was good. He hadn't pitched well enough. It's time to DFA him. But I was looking at it from, yeah, but I'm a former player, and this is how I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. And so interesting perspectives from everybody, but, you know, enough for you to take a step back and say, wonder why this happened.
Yeah, the Tellez thing, I think, just begets the cynicism about this thing, because if this just happens in a vacuum without the Tellez thing, people could say, well, every hitter looked like Barry Bonds against him for the last 2 months. They would understand it, but when you have a little bit of the history, I think you bring up a very, very good perspective from the player side of it. Speaking of this perspective, you have told us many times about your first memory, your major league debut, the nerves and everything else, and coming out of the bullpen. How did you feel Bubba Chandler acquitted himself in his major league debut?
Wow. So, you know, in a season that's not went well, and there's been some criticism, like, just electric. It was really awesome. And you know, the last time I was on, we were talking, should he relieve, should he start, yep, whatever the case may be. Let's give the Pirates a little bit of, like, whether this was done intentionally or not. Not that he needs this. He's that kind of talent. But put him against the Rockies, bring him in, and just with the ability, that increased his ability to do what he did, honestly. And the way he was throwing that night, I don't know who was going to hit him, honestly. But at the same time, like, it was a perfect storm, so let's, you know, give the Pirates some credit for how that was scripted up, if it was scripted up, and then give him credit, because it doesn't matter. You're in the big leagues. The Rockies are MLB hitters, and everybody in that league can hit. So for him to go and make them look so bad and not be that electric, it was awesome.
Matt, when you were 19 years old, we looked this up, you were playing single-A ball in Spokane, Washington. I don't know what your memories are of your time up there. There are some Steelers insiders who think...
Pirates insiders.
Pirates. I don't know why I said Steelers. Sorry. Got them on the brain. There are some Pirates insiders who believe Connor Griffin could be on the opening day roster as a teenager next spring. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I got sent down from Spokane after being there 2 weeks, so that's how bad I was at that point. I went back to rookie ball in Arizona. But... It's pretty exciting, if I'm gonna be the negative, unless I see them start with Triola shortstop and bringing him up to save the arbitration years. Mm-hmm. But still, if he comes up at the Skeens time the year before, it's still exciting to have a kid that young and in that spot. And really, I think some of the veterans you bring into this clubhouse this winter will help him come up, be successful, and learn the ropes. And that makes these free agent signings this winter even more important for somebody, if you're going to introduce somebody like him to the main position on the field and at that young age. But I was thinking, all of a sudden, you know, it seems like in bad years, all we talk about is bad. But you have Skeens, Jared Jones, Ashcraft, Chandler, Cruz, Griffin, a pretty good bullpen. And then Reynolds and Keller, who, if they're here or not after the winter, should bring in more young talent. You know, maybe we're starting to see what the vision here is, especially with how, you know, good they've drafted. They've been successful with the Griffin and the Jared Jones and Skeens. And yep, some of these were, you know, Skeens was kind of can't miss. But still, look at Dylan Cruz, who was taking the pick after him, and that was the decision. He hasn't panned out yet.
He's hitting under 200.
Yeah, so like, all of a sudden you see this, you know, you then it comes down to what I guess the big thing we'll probably talk about all winter is who you're going to bring around this to help fester this into having a chance to compete.
All right, Matt, great stuff. We'll talk again next week, buddy.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, thanks, guys.